When the government moved this week to ban the sale of ephedra, it left one giant question unanswered. What about all the other stimulants on the market? The Food and Drug Administration is taking no action against numerous other substances that dieters, athletes, and others use to increase their energy.
The real problem may actually get worse.
Dr. Raymond Woosley is a pharmacologist who's a consultant to the FDA. We called him after the FDA said it was planning to ban ephedra, which is a stimulant that's been linked to 155 deaths. To see the effect of the FDA's decision, Woosley visited a health food store near his office at the University of Arizona.
They showed me the part of the store that contains the stimulants, and they said this top shelf is the ephedra-containing products, but you probably heard they won't be available much longer. But we've got equally effective products here, all containing stimulants that will help you lose your appetite.
We went to a drugstore, a pharmacy here on the East Coast, and came back with a whole pile of different products. I'm holding one in my hand here, a bottle of pills called Ripped Fuel.
Yes, I saw that one today.
It says ephedra-free,
mm-hmm.
and this is the it contains this bitter orange.
Mm-hmm. Citrus aurantium or something like that.
Which is it's a stimulant? It causes your metabolism to go up or what?
Well, it hasn't been studied as well as ephedra, unfortunately, but it's chemically very similar to adrenaline, and in animal studies done years ago, it's known to increase blood pressure and heart rate, but there have been no clinical trials for safety. We have no idea. It actually may well be worse than ephedra.
Just going through some of the other ingredients on different products I've got in my hands here, bottles of pills, boxes of pills, kola nut, citrus fruit, white willow bark.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that just has caffeine. One ingredient after another.
Right.
Are these products addictive?
They are psychologically addictive to many people.
Now, Dr. Woosley, I know you've been involved for close to a decade now in the effort to ban ephedra. Has the industry resisted efforts at regulation?
Oh, they've resisted it until recently, and the lawsuits from the harm have caused them to back off and start replacing ephedra with other chemicals.
So is the FDA now moving toward banning something that is no longer so important to the industry?
Well, look at the sales. I mean, they went from $1.2 billion a year or so ago to $300 million last year. GNC has taken it off their shelves. The major manufacturers have taken it out of their products. So I think the industry responding to lawsuits has been far ahead of the FDA.
Well, you're saying the industry has not responded by giving up on these dietary supplements. It's responded by adapting. It's still selling them.
Absolutely. And that was the message I was told in the store this morning. When I ask about these drugs being no longer available, they said, well, we will always have something for you.
We just heard Dr. Raymond Woosley call these products drugs. In his mind, they are drugs. Legally, they're not. They are defined as dietary supplements, and that's important because a 1994 law makes them much harder to ban than drugs. Dietary supplements usually include some kind of vitamin, mineral, amino acid, or herb. As long as you don't specifically claim these products treat diseases, you can sell them without going through the strict FDA approval process. You do not have to demonstrate that your product is safe or effective. Even as he announced the ban on ephedra this week, Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson complained about that law.
We have a tremendous burden of proof in order to take supplements off of the market. Now, Congress should take a look at whether or not they want that to continue.
At least one senator is already looking, Democrat Richard Durbin of Illinois. He says the 1994 law explains why it took years for the government to ban ephedra, even after it was blamed for some deaths. Durbin says it will be equally hard to police other substances.
And now we start all over again with all the testing and all the procedures, and years will go by, and sadly many people will be harmed before protection is really there for consumers.
How is it that ephedra was not classified as a drug in the first place?
Well, it was. In its chemical form, ephedrine has been regulated for years. In fact, many, many years ago, we banned the combination of caffeine and ephedrine. It said it gets your heart racing too fast. It's dangerous to some people. And then came the category called nutrition supplements. They started putting together combinations of caffeine-like substances and ephedra, which is the natural occurring chemical, and they said, this is a nutrition supplement. It's not an over-the-counter drug and therefore not subject to regulation. And with that little crack in the law, they built a multi-billion-dollar industry and harmed thousands of people across America. frankly, we're not only dealing with a dangerous product, we're dealing with a dangerous law. The law, the DSHEA law, the Dietary Supplement Education and Health Act, is basically an industry creation of several years ago, which puts the burden on the government to prove that a product is dangerous.
When you say a law has been written by the industry, what do you mean?
Well, what happened several years ago is the dietary supplement industry came in at a moment in time when they had overwhelming majorities in the House and Senate and passed a revision of the law and said, we want to be able to sell our products without testing them in advance, without proving that they're either safe or they're effective for what we advertise. And they managed to get that law through Congress and signed by the president. They had so many friends in high places that it, frankly, was a cakewalk.
What gives them so many more friends than anybody else?
Money. Campaign contributions, the fact that they have now become multi-billion-dollar industries.
It is interesting. We looked up some figures in the nutritional supplement industry and the amount that they contribute to different political parties and congressional campaigns and so forth. And that figure is in the millions, but it is dwarfed by other industries like the traditional pharmaceutical industry, which contributes tens of millions. What makes their money go such a long way?
Well, I think because they can rally a lot of people who feel very passionately that they want the right to buy the things that they think are good for their bodies. Now, I don't disagree with that premise. I think it's a good premise. I took my vitamin this morning. I do every morning, and I'm glad I have the choice to make, and I don't need a prescription for it. But as one of my colleagues said in the House, it isn't a question of whether you can sell snake oil in America. Basically, you can. It's a question of whether you can sell snake venom, and that's what's happening here with some of these lethal combinations.
Senator Richard Durbin's view is challenged by representatives of the nutritional supplement industry. Industry groups say that responsible companies want regulation by the FDA. They've agreed to put warning labels on some products, and they say they welcome the government's banning of unsafe substances as long as the government meets that very high standard of proof under the 1994 law. When we called Michael McGuffin, the president of the American Herbal Products Association, he said that critics are wrong to claim his industry is so powerful.
If they were accurate, would ephedra still be banned? Why did we have this outcome? We're apparently not very influential if the outcome is that this important herb has been removed.
Well, not to be argumentative here, but that is sort of what I'm wondering. If this drug is already being phased out that they decided to ban, and if they're not banning the other products that you're already moving in to replace it, that's not such a bad outcome for your industry.
Well, I don't perceive us as a big industry or a particularly influential industry. The numbers that are bandied about, we're an $18 billion a year industry. There are half a dozen drug companies that are that big themselves, single companies. Do we try to influence the whole regulatory and legislative process? Of course we do. But anybody that thinks we're all powerful, that's really an exaggeration.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to use your products but is concerned about the possible safety effects? What steps should they take?
That's a great question, Steve. We've been really clear in our as a trade association representing herbal products, that part of the kind of agreement that we have to have is that the consumers have to be responsible. You have to be knowledgeable. If you're reading a label that says, don't use this and you have this condition, if you have this condition, and you don't know if you have this condition, you have a responsibility not to simply take it because you don't know, but rather to find out.
I'm holding here a package of Dexatrim Natural, which says it's ephedrine-free, and there are warnings here in small print, not for use by individuals under 18 years of age, don't exceed the recommended serving size, don't use it if you're pregnant, don't use it if you're nursing, consult a physician or licensed qualified healthcare professional before, and it goes on and on and on for high blood pressure, recurrent headaches, depression, psychiatric conditions, don't use this. If you've got glaucoma, don't use it. This is a kind of a long and scary list of warnings here.
Yeah, that should convince a lot of people not to use it. To me, again, just to pull the specific out of there, if I've got glaucoma and I've got that product in my hand, should I use it?
Looks like no.
What if I don't know if I have glaucoma?
But, I mean, there are people who just don't know yet that they have these different conditions.
Okay, so if you're driving the rental truck and it says, don't come under this bridge if you're over 14 feet and you don't know how tall the rental truck is, what do you want to do, drive under the bridge or get out and measure?
Michael McGuffin says it's the buyer's job to avoid the dangers of the energy boosters, diet pills, and stimulants that his industry will continue to sell. federal laws, as currently written, agree with him.